Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, go ahead and get you in a good mood. I don't preach long. Amen. Y'all all know that. So that means you'll get out early today. Praise God. And now that you know that's going to take place, you can relax and enjoy being in church. I'm glad you're here today. Hope everything's going well for you. Remember to pray for Brother Warren. He is certainly on my heart, and I know he is on yours. And we're just asking God to do a tremendous healing of his body. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Also, a couple other things going on. Brother Reynolds will be preaching tonight, so you be in your place to hear this great man of God preach the Word of God. Not only is he going to do the baptizing, but he's also going to preach tonight. And I know you want to do that. Write this date down on your calendar, whatever Wednesday's date is. Because Wednesday night, we're flying in a tremendous evangelist named Michael Brown. Michael Brown is going to be preaching the Word of God for us on Wednesday night. Listen, you want to encourage young preachers, then just be in your place and let them preach the Word of God to you. Amen. I remember the first couple of times, I still get nervous, but I remember the first couple of times I preached, man, I was scared to death. And it was good to just to look out and see some familiar faces. So please be in your spot on Wednesday night, tonight for Brother Reynolds, and then Wednesday night for Brother Michael as he comes to deliver the Word of God to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our theme for the month is, with all my heart, I will glorify the Lord. So we want to take a look at that thought today from a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1, read down through about the first 11 verses and see what the Lord has for us today. Our Bibles say, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, Paul writing, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. In the Bible, if someone were to ask you, where can I find in the Bible a definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You can direct them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first two or three verses. That gives us a definition of the gospel according to the Scriptures, how Jesus died, how He was buried, and how He rose again after 3 days. That is a definition of the gospel that we preach. The Apostle Paul was a Christian who we could say whose life glorified God. I don't think anybody would disagree with that statement. Probably the greatest Christian that ever walked on the planet was the Apostle Paul. Demonstrated not only in his life, but also demonstrated in the fact that God used him to write over half of the New Testament. This had to be a man that was pliable in the hand of God, a vessel, the Bible would say, meet for the Master's use. So I don't think it'd be too much of a stretch for us to say today that the life of the Apostle Paul gave glory to the God that saved him. Okay? I feel I can say that with all certainty. Does Paul ever allude to what it was that allowed his life to bring glory to God? I believe he does, and I believe we find it in our chapter and in our verse number 10 today, where Paul makes this statement. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What was Paul? Paul was a Christian. Paul was a preacher. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a great man. But Paul's life glorified God. What was it, Paul, that happened in your life? What was it, Paul, that gave you the ability to glorify God with your life? And Paul's answer is the grace of God. And that's what I want to preach to you about for a little while today. It's grace that brings the glory. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today around these good folks. Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the Apostle Paul that gave us so much of the Word of God for us to think about and to ponder on and to preach. Lord, thank You for the privilege it is ours to be gathered here together today to listen to Your Word be preached. Would You be glorified? Would the Lord Jesus be exalted? And God would thank You for it. Bless these that are here today. Speak to our hearts according to Your perfect will, and we'll thank You in Christ's name. Amen. I want to preach to you for a little while on this subject, that is, grace brings glory. I think I got four things quickly that I want to share. Paul, what happened in your life that allowed your life to glorify God? We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning. If I were to ask you this question, do you want God to receive glory from your life? I feel pretty sure that everybody in here would check yes on that question. Do you want God to receive the glory from your life? Sure we do. I don't know if anybody in the room would say, no, I want my life to glorify myself or to glorify Satan or somebody else. We want our life to glorify God. Paul did that. And Paul said, the reason that my life can glorify God is because of the grace that was given to me by God Himself. Number one, if you're taking notes, would you write this down at least in your heart? Grace changes. Would you write that down, please? Grace changes. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, we all know this to be true about Paul. We've studied our Bible and read it enough to know this to be true, that Paul was not always Paul. Amen? This man, Paul, used to be Saul of Tarsus. All right, we read that in the Bible. Saul of Tarsus was a wicked man. He thought he was doing the church of God some good by going around to different towns and putting Christians in prison, separating husbands from wives, separating parents from children, killing some, persecuting the church is how he put it. This is who Paul used to be. This is what grace has done for Paul. It changed him. He was the man, the Bible says in the book of Acts, that stood by while Stephen, a man filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, was dragged outside of town, stood up while the rest of the Jews took rocks in their hand and threw them at Stephen, stoning him to death. The Bible said that they laid their coats at the feet of a young man. Who was that young man that stood by and watched as this great Christian, this great man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, as the stone struck him in the head and the life eked out of him? Who was that young man? That is Saul of Tarsus. So we know who we're talking about today. But Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. A man whose goals in life were to stamp out Christianity. He hated it. It was an affront to Judaism. It wasn't right. He took it upon himself to say, we'll not have that on my watch. I'm going to do everything I can to destroy Christianity in my part of the world. Matter of fact, we find him on a road one day to Damascus. Why was he going to Damascus? The Bible tells us that he was going to Damascus to kill Christians. He was going to Damascus to help stamp out Christianity. He was going to Damascus perhaps to take a husband from his wife, perhaps to take children from the family, all in the name of religion, all in the name of God. And we all know this to be true as well, that on that road to Damascus, his life changed. Because there, Jesus Christ found him. He didn't find Jesus. Jesus found him. The Bible said a great light shone around him, knocked him off his horse, blinded him for a while, and then Paul said, Lord, who art thou that I may serve you? And Paul's life was changed. The truth is all of us have a past. All of us have a past. If you're here today and you're born again, you hadn't always been born again. You have a past. And in your past lies things like this: drunkenness, adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, vileness, wickedness, and the list goes on and on. That's what our past is. That's what grace delivered us from. Listen, Paul was a wicked man. He said, but who I am today, what I am today is by the grace of God that was given to me, that was bestowed upon me. Listen, this man had unspeakable vileness in his life until he was found by Jesus. Do you remember when it was for you? Do you remember what the road that you were on when Jesus found you and deposited into your life the grace that changed you forever? That's what grace does for us. It changes us so that we're capable of giving glory to God. That's what happened to Paul. He was a wicked man. Grace was given to his heart and it changed him into a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, for me, it was 1987, coming up on 30 years. I don't have to go into this morning how vile and how wicked I was. All you have to do is ask my mom and daddy. They're here. They can tell you. But in 1987, I wasn't on a road to Damascus, but I was knelt down beside a bed. And I was wicked. I was vile. I had junk in my past that I'd never tell you about because I'd be too embarrassed. And the grace of God found me there on my road and changed my life. That's what grace does. It changes us. Do you have a testimony like that? Can you at least go back in your mind somewhere and say, Brother Earl, I was wicked. I was vile. I had unspeakable cruelty in my life until one day or one night I was at church. I was at home. I was in my car. I was somewhere and Jesus found me and He deposited grace into my heart and my life has not been the same. Grace changed me. That's what grace does. Paul, how is it possible that you can give so much glory to God by your life? And Paul directs us back to one thing that made that possible, and that's when the Lord Jesus Christ deposited His grace into his life. That's what changed Paul. That's what made Saul, Paul, the great preacher. Do you have a testimony like that this morning? I didn't ask you, can you go back to the exact day and the exact minute? You might not be able to do that. But do you have a testimony much like Paul? Listen, maybe you didn't kill anybody. Maybe you didn't curse out Christians on the side of the road when they were preaching. But maybe you made fun of them. Maybe you said something negative about them. Maybe you said there ain't no God. And then one day, Jesus Christ found you while you were wrecking your havoc and He deposited grace into your life and into your heart and you have not been the same. Would you say amen to the grace of God this morning? Listen, grace changes. Thank God for me again, almost 30 years ago. Hard to believe it's been that long, but almost 30 years ago. Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Number two, not only does grace change, but number two, grace cures. Verse number 10 goes on to say this, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. This was not some prayer that Paul prayed. And in two or three weeks, we find Paul back on the same road going back to Damascus, terrorizing the church and killing Christians again. Matter of fact, we don't ever read that he went back to that. Why? Because the grace of God, once it is applied to our hearts, it cures our sickness. It cures the problem that we have in there. Listen, we're all born with a disease in our soul, and that disease is sin, and there is no cure for it outside of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, listen, that grace came into me, and when it came into me, it wasn't some empty thing. It actually did something in my soul. Can I tell you today that my soul is cleansed? Can I say today that my soul is cured, that I have no sickness there? Yeah, I got sin in my flesh, but in my soul, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I am completely whole. That's what grace does to us. We are given the nature of God. The Holy Spirit of God moves into our body, and I am cured. You are cured today. If you have been given this grace cures, it sticks, it works, it never fails. That's what grace does. Listen, don't be fooled. I feel like there's some folks that go to maybe this church or other churches that prayed a prayer, but they never got the grace. There's no salvation in praying a prayer. You understand that? There's no salvation in praying a prayer. There's salvation in Jesus. That's the only place. He's the only person. Listen, He doesn't have the answer. He is the answer. Amen. Lord, I'm coming to You to give me the answer. And He says, I don't have the answer. I am the answer. This grace, this kind of grace, the kind of grace that Paul got, the kind that I got, the kind that you got, it cures our soul. My soul is already in heaven. That's what the Bible says. We are seated together in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm a citizen of that country because my soul is cured and there is no disease there. Now there's plenty in this old flesh, but there's none in my soul because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Nothing empty about this grace, Paul said. It wasn't in vain. If, I've been talking to Jay Brown this week, which is, I've said, either a blessing or a curse. I'm not sure which one that is. But nonetheless, he's blind as a bat. If he was sitting here, I'd tell him that. He's blind as a bat. All right? Let me ask you this question. Thought about that this morning. If you ever watched Jay work on a computer, number one, the screen's as big as the podium. Amen. Number one, the screen's about that big. Number two, he's right here at it. Okay? Now he's got it on like font 9,000, all right? He's got one letter at a time comes on the screen and he's still right here looking. What does that say? I'm thinking, how are you going to fix my computer and you can't see my computer? Brother Earl, let me get over there and work on your computer. Have you lost your mind? You can't even see it and you're going to work on it? There's something wrong with that, man. He gets right up there at that thing. Now what if Jay got healed? Man, he'd be excited, wouldn't he? I'd be excited. Jessica would be excited. The whole world would be excited. Jay got healed. He woke up one morning, boom, 20/20 vision. Man, he is completely cured. He comes up to church, man, gives a testimony. I don't know what in the world. I didn't deserve it, but God healed me and I can see everything. And I'm, man, he's just giving God the glory. And the next day we walk through the hall and there's Jay at the computer stuck with his head right up there like that. Jay, well, I thought you got healed, Jay. I did, but I'm so used to doing this that I'm just going to keep on doing it. It wouldn't make any sense with it. Back off and look at that thing. He got that leg too. I'm going to pick on Jay today. He got that leg. He takes it off and scares the elementary students half to death. We'll chase him down the hall with his leg. What if he woke up one morning, man, his leg done growed back. There it is right there. Got a brand new leg. Man. And he said, I tell you what, this is wonderful. Showing it off to everybody. And then he takes that artificial leg and straps it right next to that new one. He walks down the hall, a three-legged race by himself. Amen. There he goes. What if he does that? It wouldn't make any sense, would it? He doesn't need that anymore. He doesn't need that big screen anymore. Why? Because his life's been changed. And I'm here to tell you today, when grace moves in and our soul is cured, there's a lot of things we try to hang on to that we don't need anymore because God has changed our life. Because our soul has been cured by the grace of God. Listen, I'm not saying that we're perfect. We're not. I'm saying we're all sinners and we still have fleshly desires and things that get into our hearts sometime and things that confuse us sometime. But listen, the truth of the matter is that when grace cured me, I'm cured and I can never be sick again in that area because Christ has saved my soul. Paul said, listen, this grace that was bestowed upon me, this grace that was given to me, I don't need the big screen anymore. I don't need the plastic leg anymore. God has changed my life. That's what grace does. That's what grace does. Listen, we need to understand this. Get rid of all those things that are holding us back. All those things that we're clutching on of the world. We don't need them anymore. Jesus has cured us. Number three. Not only does grace cure it, grace continues. Paul said in verse number 10, the same one, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He makes this statement. He said, out of the apostles, I'm the least. He said, because I was the least, I worked harder. I tried to do more. The grace that saves us is the grace that keeps us. There's a lot of Christians, I'm afraid, that trust the Lord Jesus by faith and they receive His grace. But for some reason, we get confused and we think we have to keep ourselves
saved. We have to keep ourselves cured. We have to do our part. You don't have to do your part. Jesus did it all for us. When He cured my soul was made 100% cured. It's going to heaven. There's no transformation that it has to go through. I'm already there. I'm a child of God. But listen, I don't have to keep myself right with God. God made me right with Him when He cured my soul. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Jesus Christ can never love you any more than He loves you right now. And He can never love you any less. He loves you like you are. And that's never going to change. Grace living gives glory to God. We don't impress God by doing. We impress God by resting in what He has done. Notice Paul says it wasn't me that did it, but it was the grace of God which was with me. Who's Paul giving the glory to? Who's Paul giving the credit to? He's giving it to the one that deserves it, and that's the one that saved him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace will carry us all the way to heaven. Anything I do for Jesus, I do by His grace alone. Can I read a verse to you that you already know? And you can turn there if you like, but it's found in Galatians chapter number 2. Somebody's life verse probably, where our Bible says this, I am crucified with Christ. Verse number 20. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, listen, this life that I'm living now in the flesh, the only way I can make it is through the grace of God. Because this grace continues. The grace you need is already deposited into your account. It is there. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Earl, how can I let God receive the glory from my life? Here's the best way to do it. Rest in the grace that God has given you. Live for Him through the grace that God has given you, and He gets the glory for it. I don't get the glory because there's nothing in me that's doing it. Paul said, as good as I am, everything that I am, everything that I do, the reason I was able to work harder and labor more is due to this fact, and that's the fact that God has deposited His grace in my soul. Give Him the glory for it. Give Him the edification for it. Let the name of Jesus be glorified because He has done it all. And I just simply rest in Him. Last thing, and I'm done. And that is this. Grace converts. Grace converts. Verse number 11 said, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there because you already know the verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know those verses. Grace converts. Grace is the great magnet that draws us to Christ. I didn't get saved the first time I heard about it. Probably you didn't either. But after the Lord worked on my heart a little while and I saw my great need of Him, it was His grace that drew me to Him. Because this is what I knew about myself. I had done way too much to ever be forgiven. I had been way too wicked and way too vile to ever expect God to do anything for me. And then I heard somebody preach about His grace. And the grace says this, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've thought. I don't care what you've participated in. I don't care what goes on behind the closed door at your house. I don't care of the conversation that you have with the people at work. I don't care about the wicked, vile, ungodly things that you have done and that you've thought about in your life. If you'll come to me just like that, I'll forgive every one of them. That's what I'll do. This grace converts. And when I got a good grasp of the fact, Brother Jesse, that everything that I had ever done, everything that I had ever committed against the Lord, every wicked word that I had said, every wicked thought that I had thought, every situation that I had found myself in that was ungodly and vile, every one of those, I could bring them and lay them at the feet of the Lord, and in exchange for those sins, He'd give me grace. He'd give me grace. He'd put in me the cure that I needed, because grace converts us. It changes who we are. Listen, if you had a dreaded disease, if Brother Warren were here today and I had something up here that would cure him in an instant, he'd come get it because it would make him whole. And I'm afraid that sometimes we sit through services and we know about the grace of God and we turn around and we walk out the door thinking, you know what? I'll get it the next time. You know what? Maybe that isn't for me today. But before we push off too much on lost people, I'm afraid we as Christians forget about this, that it's the grace of God that'll get me through today. It's the grace of God that'll get me through tomorrow. Grace converts. Grace converts. About 3 weeks ago, I had a young man come to my office. And he said this. This is a young man now. I'm talking 13, 14 years old. And he comes and sits in my office and he said, how do you get saved? And I said, it's the Lord Jesus. He does it for you. And he said, I'm afraid I've done way too much for God to ever forgive me. I'm thinking, this kid is 14. But after I sat and talked with him a while, I understood where he's coming from. Wicked. Vile. Ungodly. And I told him this. I said, it doesn't matter what you've done. If you'll call on Jesus right now, He'll forgive every one of them. And He'll, in exchange, give you grace and give you a home in heaven. That's what He'll do. That's what He'll do. Why? Because grace converts. If we could get a hold of grace, a grace that takes all our failures, that takes all our sins, that takes all of our embarrassments, and takes all of my guilt, and takes all of my shame, and it wipes them away. And it doesn't matter what I've done in my past. It doesn't matter the degree of ungodliness that I've committed. Grace will wash it all away. That's why it's important to model grace to others. I'll close with this. 1935, the year Brother Sellers was born. In New York City, they had a mayor. You'll recognize his name because it was Mayor LaGuardia. Eventually, they named an airport after him and other things. You've heard of LaGuardia Airport, named after the mayor. He was the mayor of New York during the Great Depression, World War II. Just a great fella. I don't know that he was a Christian, but he was a great fella. Everybody loved him. He would he'd go down to the orphanage and just take all the kids out and buy them lunch or buy them some ice cream or something. Just a great man. One night he went to night court. They used to have court at night. He dismissed the judge that was there and said, "You go on home with your family. I'll stay here tonight and take care of all these cases." First case, a grandmother came up that had been accused of stealing a loaf of bread. And he said, "Ma'am, how do you plead?" And she said, "Mayor, I'm guilty. My son-in-law ran off and left me, my daughter, and my grandkids at home. She's sick. I'm too old to work, and my grandkids were starving. I didn't know what to do." The owner of the shop was there as well. He said, "Judge, Your Honor, Mayor, we got to make an example out of this lady, because if we let her off, everybody around my store is going to come and steal my stuff. We've got to punish her." And the mayor said, "You're right." And he turned to the lady and said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. You broke the law. Your fine is $10 or 10 days. She said, "Judge, I don't have $10. While she was saying that, he was reaching into his pocket. And he pulled out $10 and laid it on the table there and said, "Ma'am, that $10 is to pay your fine." And he said, "On top of that, I'm fining everybody in this class or in this courtroom 50 cents apiece. Because y'all live in a city where a grandma has to steal bread to feed her family, and you ought to be ashamed. Bailiff, pass the hat. Collect 50 cents from everybody in this room. Bailiff passed the hat, came back, there was $47.50 in it. The judge, the mayor, took out 50 cents and gave it to the man, said that ought to more than cover your loaf of bread. And he took the $47 and he turned and gave it to the grandma and said, ma'am, we buy you some food for your family. God bless you. And I tell you, that's what grace is. And that's what grace is. Grace doesn't just pay your fine. Grace deposits into our account more than we can ever spend, more than we'll ever need. You can't exhaust the grace of God. It is there forever. If I live another day, it'll be because of the grace of God. If I do anything good, it'll be because of the grace of God. There is nothing in me that is in my flesh that is of any value to anyone. The only good thing about me is the grace of God that was given to me. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today. Probably something terrible. But you know what's going to get you through it? It ain't your strength. It ain't your ability to pray. It ain't your giving. It ain't your Bible reading. You know what's going to get you through it? The grace of God. Period. Will we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed?